Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
here. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd
what?
Be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Anytime you're ready.
Yeah, but. We're here. I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't know
good
what
good morning,
happened.
Everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk.
I don't
we're
know
so
what
glad
to have
to
you
our,
here.
Our intro music. Oh, I know what happened to our intro music. Hey, there's this funny thing. It's called a mute button.
Yeah.
You can turn it on or off on your computer. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's on your computer. It's kind of like it tells the computer to turn
For the advanced users.
Hey, there we go. Without the mute button, things kind of work. Wow. All right.
Our whole show is about the mute button.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you've got one, now's a good time to experiment with it.
On your radio, in your car, at home.
Try out
your computer
for about the next 45 minutes.
Yeah, and, that'd be a good thing.
Yeah. No, you don't want to do that. Not today. We got a good show today. We've got not only do you get to listen to our ramblings and babblings, but I've got Jay Garman coming on with geek trivia from last week. And,
all right.
Yeah.
And some can't wait
stuff.
To hear the answer.
He's actually out and about, so we're gonna cell phone him in. We'll see how well that works.
Yeah.
He's at the Science Museum, the Louisville Science Museum.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, it's
is
fantastic.
He making a presentation or just hanging out, checking
I
out?
Just hanging out. I mean, he's there with the fam and the kids and all that good stuff.
In case you missed it, that's Michael Tech Talk Castle over there. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome to Tech Talk.
Yeah, and then after that, as soon as we're done with Jay, we got another mic on. Michael Miller, who we've had on numerous times before.
He's been great every time.
You may remember
every time he's
him
been on.
From such books as Googlepedia and the iPodpedia and things like that. He now has got I like to call it Facebook for old folks, but it's he calls it Facebook for grown-ups.
This is very timely, this book for me, because I have an older sister who just got into Facebook and is revealing way too much information.
Oh man.
She's got like a picture of her house, you know.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff like that. Like way too much stuff online.
Well, and that'll be a good thing to talk and ask Mike. Now, the book is great. It gives a real rundown on everything you can do with Facebook. I don't know if it talks so much about what you should do with Facebook or not, but it does talk about everything you can do. I've got a couple of friends who are my age, who I went to high school with and have just literally within the last month here decided finally to take the Facebook plunge.
Yeah.
And
so Michael Miller always does a great job, a very incredibly thorough job researching and explaining how-tos with whatever subject he gets into.
Absolutely. So that'll be fun. So stick around for that. You might want to turn the mute button off in about 15 minutes there, so we bring him on. Man, there was big stuff.
You mean unmute?
Unmute us. Yeah. So if you already have, of course, it's too late. You know.
Yes.
But we
and
lost
you're
you.
Playing hurt today. We should mention you have a terrible head cold. I have no excuse. I always sound this way.
I got nailed with this thing, which, of course, too. Now, once you know it, there's this firm. They're out in Connecticut. I've been trying to get an interview with them for
a job.
For a job.
Employment,
for, for quite some time. For
right.
4 to 6
not
weeks.
Not for the show. That's not an interview for the show.
No. This is for me personally. I was talking to a buddy. I was sidelined for a second before I finished. The complete story, but I was talking to a buddy. He's like, "Oh, so have you started using the radio show as a marketing venture to get yourself interviews?" And they're like, "Well, no, I haven't. Maybe I should. Hey, if anybody out there is,"
no, I think they may not on your resume. Yeah. You know, people. Yeah. You know, would be unduly impressed by listing the show on your resume.
Oh, boy, I don't know.
They'd have an idea of what a radio show should be, not what we actually do.
Well, I hope that they see it and have good ideas about radio shows, but don't actually go through and listen to it.
Yeah,
they need to avoid, or there's the other tech talk
maybe
shows.
Maybe you could screw... Yeah, you're lucky. Maybe you'll get lucky and they'll Google one of the good ones.
They'll think it's one of like MIT's Tech Talk or something. MIT's got a Tech Talk. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's fascinating.
Yes, yes. Well, anyway, so I've been waiting, trying to get his interview with this firm for 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. It's a great fit for me. You know, there's a lot going on. Finally, we get the date set. And once you know it, the night before is when all of a sudden I get just completely steamrollered with this this nasty flu.
Yeah.
The interview's at 9 a.m. I think I held it.
You're talking
together.
Kind of close to that microphone, aren't you, for a guy that's sick?
Yeah. Well, radio DJ is actually ahead of teachers even for being the most vulnerable or exposed to flu and other disease.
I've caught some stuff from the station.
Oh yeah, oh, I know I have too. but I've caught my stuff while I was on air. we're not talking. Never mind.
Stuff is a very broad category.
Yes, it is. Oh man.
Well, use your imagination, folks.
Speaking of catching stuff, Verizon caught the iPhone, and boy, did they ever catch the iPhone?
A lot of big numbers there.
They actually blew away. Let me see. Let me bring this up. Make sure I get these. I don't know if I'm going to get these numbers right, but they broke all of their previous sales records in 2 hours.
Wow.
After starting to open these. It started early in the morning of February 3rd. That's when the Verizon version of the iPhone went on sale. 2 hours later, they had broke all of their sale records.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and especially when you consider that all these initial orders, Verizon CEO Dan Mead said, all these initial orders were placed between the hours of 3 and 5 a.m.
Wow.
So you had some pretty dedicated people there.
Fanatics.
Yeah.
Frenzied.
Frenzied. I think that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, immediately, Verizon Wireless put in a plan to throttle data usage. For downloaders.
Oh, really?
I love dailytech.com.
Wasn't it great, though, that the hardware is ahead of the network? That's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
It'll be interesting. When the network actually gets there, it's going to be the fatter the pipes get, it's going to be interesting what gets done with it.
Mm-hmm, Yeah, well, and there was always that, there's always been this separation between the capacity of one end or the other of your computer-related gear. You know, at one point it was that the software was too bloated to take advantage of the increased CPU speed. And that was a big discussion that people were complaining at the time. I remember this very much when I was in school.
There have been very different bottlenecks. You know, the graphics was a bottleneck at one point. The GPUs were, various, not enough RAM. You know, at one time or another, something's always seems to be slowing us down.
Something always is just getting right in there.
Well, then, you know, everything can't be at the same speed at the exact same time every time. I mean, you know, one thing develops a little quicker than the other. We just have to wait for it to catch up. That's all.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. So Verizon's taking steps. They've throttled their data use. I love the picture they've got on dailytech.com. They've got Kirk. I don't know what episode it's from. It'd be a good geek trivia question, but he's being choked, or something in the air is choking him, and he's got
Captain Kirk.
Yeah. And so that's the picture. What they're basically doing is that they're saying we're taking the top 5% of users. And we're going to reel them back in. We're going to slow their access down, at least for this billing period, until we get a handle on it.
In a way, we've mischaracterized this, though. This isn't a failure of network speed. This is a failure of network capacity.
Yes.
So that's not
people always want the speed to get better, and there's the WiMAX and some other things that are supposedly going to help that out. But it really is. You're right. You're absolutely right. You nailed it. It's not to do with the speed so much as it is the capacity of
and data hogs.
Those darn data hogs. If you're one of those data hogs, get off of the road.
I have been. I haven't you? Haven't we all been data
absolutely.
Hogs?
Absolutely. Yeah.
From time to time.
No.
But what are we? we're downloading stuff that we'll never in our lifetimes get to, right?
I mean,
it's like...
It's true. And with the smartphones, of course, too, you know, there's people that are watching TV, they're watching movies. I mean, this is all, it's all possible. They show it in the commercials. So it's
that's the selling point.
You know, it's kind of frustrating that you can't. Of course, the commercials are getting really quite intense here between Verizon and AT&T now, where they've got the Helena Troy commercials and all this. And they're AT&T is really pushing the idea that the surf and talk at the same time is a big deal.
I guess, of course.
I don't know. I've seen the commercials.
Don't do that when you're sick on the microphone.
I'm spraying infection across the room here.
You just aerosol the room with infection. It's, you know, how many things can you do with your phone? How many things you want to do with your phone? You ought to fill out a form saying that, you know, you're going to use this data soon. You know, are you going to watch this movie or this show?
Well, that's the whole point of DRM, isn't it? You know, then it just disappears after 2 weeks.
And we all love DRM.
Oh, yes. Yes. Like the Kindle DRM, where you can lend a book now for 2 weeks, but then it goes away. There's a new website, too, and I was possibly going to follow up. It kind of was related to our discussion a couple weeks ago with Eric. Oh, gosh, what's his name? Ginsburg, with the BookSwim and how the lending is taking off. There's now some sites coming out that are pulling together people's e-reader lending capabilities. And so it's social right now. It's not really being done for any sort of financial gain, although I'm sure they're, you know, doing ads and AdWords and things like this. But what it does is collects people together and says, hey, I bought... you know, the newest thriller, and I'm willing to lend it to somebody. You know, just let me know what your Kindle account is, and I will lend it to you, and I get points for doing that. And then if I want to borrow a book from somebody, I can. The only problem I have with that model, because it is social, is that although it hits the right number of people who want to read books, it's also, too, hitting those people that want to read books but not pay for them. And so you're going to get a lot of people that are leeches. You know, they're trying to... They just want to borrow other people's books. Yeah.
Well, that's not the worst thing in the world. To digress even further for just a second, I've also read something that there's serious consideration to start using iPads as textbooks.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't heard that.
But to get back to the subject you started with, did they define what a data hog is? What? How much data is the top 5% using?
That's a good question. I don't know that I saw 100
gigs a month or something
specific,
like that.
I don't know if I saw a specific number. Let me see here. I'll take.
I'm trying to remember. I've read it in the past. I can't. You know.
Yeah, it's really, they really aren't, at least not from what I'm seeing. You know, defining what that percentage includes, or they're just making it this top 5%.
So it's like they're grading on a curve. It doesn't matter how much you use. As long as you're in the top 5%, you're going to...
Yes, yeah. Now
you're going to get throttled.
In reaction... Now, and of course, both AT&T and Verizon discontinued their all-you-can-eat plans for data a while ago. But in reaction, AT&T yesterday announced it's going to expand its tethering data allowance, which is that you can attach your phone to your computer and use it as... basically like a Wi-Fi modem.
Right.
It's going to expand it from a 2 gig to 4 gig allowance. So you could actually do more with it. And, you know, at least get you through more emails and so on through the month, which really is nice, but it's not...
For a fee, of course. That's the other thing.
Right? Well, depending on how you're paying for your wireless, you may or may not be paying additional for those megabytes. But that really puts it in line with what Verizon's plan was already. So,
well, what I don't understand is that they're selling a lot of this wireless cellular modems now for your laptop or for your desktop or whatever.
Yeah, these hotspots.
Hotspots.
I love those.
Unlimited, right? Mm-hmm. Unlimited. So it's the same network, and there's no throttle on those, and you've got a much greater potential for using. Of course, I guess that's probably a bigger, for just data, that's a bigger fee per month, right?
Yeah, well, you pay a set fee that's pretty comparable to what you would pay for a smartphone anyways, no, I believe. It's not quite as much as what you'd pay for the full cell phone or smartphone. But it's equivalent to, you know, more than what you would pay for a cell phone. There's a lot of weirdness that goes on with how things are charged. One of my personal frustrations in one of those head scratcher things is text messages. Text messages cost more in general than do cell phone minutes.
It's a scam.
And it's a complete scam.
It's a scam.
It costs. Why is it you can sell? 50th.
Why can you send email for free or within the context or confines of your data plan?
Data plan.
And you can't send a text without a charge.
Exactly.
It's just another way to clip you.
And they, you know, I've got one of these pay as you go phones right now, and they literally they charge double for me to send a text message as they do for me to speak on the phone for 1 minute. And
that seems fair.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is.
And so I found, you know, I'm really trying to get back to that human touch and talk to people. And it's saving me money. So, so it's nice.
That must be stressful for you.
I want to get people off as quickly as possible. You know, I talk to them. I was like, okay, all right, what do you got to say? Where am I meeting you? All right. Talk to you later. This is costing me money. Come on. Yeah,
it's always like, I've got a pretty fat, voice and data, data plan and everything. But all you need is an overage bill for you to be like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, knock it off. Blah, blah, blah. Cut it out. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I do like about the pay-as-you-go phone is it's real nice. Immediate feedback. I'm a real big fan of immediate feedback. And
you are.
Every time I hang up the phone or every time I get a cell phone message, my phone makes its nice little bleep, 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 bleep sound. And there's a new message on there that says, you just got charged 20 cents. You know, your new balance is blah, blah, blah. I love it. It's like fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. I want to know exactly what you could, you know.
Mike's adventure. Michael Kassler's adventures in a disposable phone.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If you've never used one, I highly recommend it.
We need a segment intro with lots of echo and music and stuff.
We can keep talking about that. You know, we need.
No, it's good. It's good. Well, you know, there really is. It's like dealing with, throwaway phones. It's a little like going to a payday loan store. You know, you just don't know. All the different ways that they can just get you their hand in your pocket for a few more pennies here and there, and adds up quite a bit.
Here, let me tell you my one frustration here, or one of my frustrations, I guess, with the phone too. You go into the menu settings, and there's all these different things you can do there. Of course, you know, you can you can go and you can get your messages, and you can set your configuration, all that. But the very main thing in the center of your options, which if you hit the select button twice or hold it a little bit too long, whatever, automatically brings up is, of course, the web browsing function, which, you know, is completely ridiculous and lame on this stupid phone. I accidentally did this, you know, and it came up, and as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, huh, well, that's kind of weird, you know, and, well, you know what, here, I'll exit out of that anyways. I'm not really interested in browsing the web at the moment and all this. And it wasn't like I went anywhere. It just accidentally came up. Soon as I closed it out, bleep, 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 bleep. Charged me money for this, you know, for the half of a second that I like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. It charged me money, and it's the easiest thing. It's the easiest thing to click by accident.
Yeah, how do you feel about phone? How do you feel about net neutrality now, buddy? I'm just kidding. Two things aren't related at all. Please don't send any emails. It was just a joke.
If you do want to send emails, send them to techtalk@wrlr.fm. Oh, 847-984-0847, too, if you want to leave a voice message for Dave.
And by the way, the reason Michael's using a disposable phone is he's between phones right now. He's holding out for the latest edition, Droid or iPhone.
Maybe even the iPhone. You know, the iPhone, new version of the iPhone is supposed to come out in June, as they usually do.
What's this new Android operating system, 3.0 or something that's coming out?
I hadn't heard about
that. Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be juicy.
Oh.
It's supposed to be nice.
You know what? We gotta get Jay on here. I promised him I'd be going pretty quick here with him.
Yeah, well, he knows.
I know. And I told Mike Miller, of course, the same thing, too. We were going to jump right in.
Well, you better shake the cobwebs out of that. Head cold ears.
Oh, I tell you.
Verizon Wireless. The number you dialed has been changed, disconnected, or is no longer in service.
Ouch. Okay, well, let's I love Verizon.
You've been throttled. Talk about Verizon on the air.
Jay must be one of those. He's the top 5%.
Okay. Tech Talk is, you heard it here first, folks. The repression of big corporate America against the little independent community radio station. Talk bad about Verizon, all of a sudden,
that's it.
Can't get through.
They bring down the old band hammer right on you.
The man is on our case.
Okay, we're trying this one. I got a slightly different one here for
Slightly different? Like maybe the correct number?
I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know. He might have changed it.
Hello.
Oh, it is. He did change
now
it.
Now, if you can hear us, that's the ultimate.
I was calling your old cell number. We got the old Verizon banhammer message. You know, this number has been changed or disconnected. You are out of luck. So I'm glad we had the right one on hand.
Well, how's it going, fellas? You sorting out your technical difficulties?
You know, I think we have. I think things have been pretty good. I was just chatting with the Sports Corner, who's on before us, and they had a couple of interviews they did, and everything's going smooth. I spent some time here last week and cleared it all up. With some help from our good friend Joe Siraki, who's the station engineer. I wanted to give a shout out to him. But yeah, I think we did it. We did it. It lives. It's alive.
Excellent. You can now conduct a radio show with impunity.
Wait, yes.
Is that a good thing?
Well, the most important thing, bottom line, Jay, is that we can talk to you. That was the big motivation for getting this thing straightened out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you guys need a lot more going on in your life if that's the case.
I wish I was where you're at. I understand you're at the Louisville Science Museum today.
That is correct. As some friends come in town, there's a Star Trek exhibition here, so they're like, we have to go. So,
oh.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, the Science Museum is awesome. When we were down there with the kids, we spent an entire day. There was no Star Trek going on when I was there, but there was enough other cool stuff that it was a blast. That is one of the better science museums I've ever been at, for sure.
Well, we appreciate you flooding our local tourist attractions when you say things like that. I'll sure that the convention and visitors here will send you a check.
I would appreciate that. Any sort of income at this point would be highly highly valued. Yeah, no, Louisville surprised me, I have to admit. We kind of picked it almost at random, although knowing you were there made a bit of a difference. But we went down and I figured, well, hey, if nothing else, we'll just swim all day in the hotel and the kids will have fun anyways. But as it turned out, there was just a tremendous number of really cool and exciting things to do with the Louisville Science Museum and the zoo and the cave. And boy, you just enough stuff. If you're into baseball, you got the Louisville Sluggers is right down there, and all that. Really a fun little city to be around.
Yeah, well, that's why I refuse to move.
Well, hey, I don't want to take you away from your friends for too long, and I know how that can be when you're out with friends and family. You want to get back to them, so we'll try to hustle things up a little bit here. What is the answer now? Last week's trivia question, and I apologize, I've got a head cold. I'm a little spacey today. Remind us of what the question was and how it turns out.
Well, the question was, what symbolic item of cargo survived the Challenger disaster
is
still in service today? And the answer is the American flag from Boy Scout Troop 514 from Monument, Colorado. It was sent up as sort of a PR gesture, if you will. The Boy Scout troops had some friends in the Air Force that managed to get the flag. Among other things, flown above the Colorado State Capitol and Capitol Building in D.C., and it got on the space shuttle as sort of one of what they call one of their public relations packages. And it did not get destroyed when the Challenger broke up at all. It was found completely intact, its plastic case, floating in the ocean during the recovery efforts.
Huh.
And so it became known as the Challenger flag. It was sort of a symbol of endurance. And it went on after that to serve many purposes. It was displayed many places, but most notably, it was the official flag of the United States flown above the Olympic Games in Salt Lake City.
Oh.
So it stayed in service, and at this point, it was eventually returned to Troop 514, and they still use it for their Eagle Scout ceremonies. So it's still used today, and at any moment, the Senate delegation from Colorado can call it back up for service if they necessary. So if you ask NASA about the Challenger flag, they know what it is, and they reserve the right to call it back into service at any time.
Very cool. Very cool. Boy,
that's amazing. It's a great story. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. That is amazing. It's one of those weird things, like, you know, the things that get left over from tornadoes and whatever, but it makes you, you know, really makes you scratch your head when you find something like that and gives you a sense of a real patriotism to think it was the American flag that survived through it, and hopefully people continue struggling to better the country and moving our space program forward too.
Well, not to get too morbid, but it's a common misconception that the Challenger exploded. It did not. It was there was a separation of a solid rocket booster, which changed the aerodynamic profile violently and quickly. And the Challenger was literally ripped apart, but there was never any fire inside the actual spacecraft. So what was recovered, they recovered several things, almost nothing completely intact, but there was almost nothing that was set on fire or burned, because it was just, it's like ripping open a plastic bag and flinging it into the air. It's sort of is what happened there. NASA is very particular. They said there was a Challenger disaster. Do not call it the Challenger explosion. The Challenger did not explode.
Interesting. I did not realize that. I didn't know that. I will actually be careful about referring to it as such in the future. That's a really good point. So what should we be thinking about for next week?
Well, February 7th coming up is the birthday of a world famous board game, and I'm not going to tell you which one, but I'm going to give you a clue. It was a board game that was used by the Allies to aid prisoners of war in World War II. So what classic board game became an aid to the Allies for rescuing prisoners of war in World War II?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I have heard this, and I can't remember it. But, prisoners of war were... They used that to smuggle in information.
I was thinking maybe it was Risk. You know, that's the best map they had at the time.
Well, if they smuggled in Risk, everyone would have gone to Australia and waited it out.
Yeah. Oh man. That's great. That is great. I don't know if I'm going to be able to resist not doing some Google searching on that to try and find that one out before next week. That's interesting. Well, Jay, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. We'll let you get back to friends and family and have what I know is going to be an exciting time at the Science Museum, especially if they've got a Star Trek exhibition going. That'll be a blast. Did you wear your Star Trek? I know you've got a red shirt.
I did not. It's a little cold for the uniform today. Also, while my wife and friends would have been amused by that, we actually had to go to dinner with my parents afterwards. I don't think they would let me go out to dinner with them dressed like that. So I am wearing a red sweater with a black shirt underneath it. So I'm getting as close as I'm allowed.
Okay. Come on. Yeah, everybody looks good in uniform.
Sure if that's a good sense of dignity or not, but. I think it's great that you respected your parents' wishes.
Yes, absolutely. The good son.
I respect the wishes of anybody that's going to buy me dinner. I'm very straightforward that way.
I, I respect that. Absolutely. Jay, I'll let you go. As always, thanks so much. Been great talking to you, and we'll be cogitating on that geek trivia for next week, and people that want to find more Jay can always go to jaygarman.net.
You got it, fellas. You guys have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
You
take
do the
care.
Same. Good talking to you, Jay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
What a great guy to take time out of his visit to the museum and just to hear him talk. I mean, it's just amazing. He's such a fount of knowledge about all this stuff, talking about the Challenger disaster. And here he's in his element, someplace he's really happy being, and takes time out from this family excursion to give us a call our call.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. I, you know, it's always amazing to me that he's still willing to put up with us.
Yeah. He's so funny and entertaining and informative, and teases the brain as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He's always got something interesting. Hey, you know what we're going to do? Speaking of teasing the brain.
I don't.
I'm going to play a few spots and promos.
That would be
stuff
nice.
Like that.
That would be nice before 10 minutes to the hour.
Yeah, then. And then we're going to come right back. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Mike Miller, and he's going to tell us all about how to get into Facebook for grownups. So stay tuned.
Come
listen
on back.
To Tech Talk.
WRLR, Loud Lake Heights, Illinois, 98.3 FM.
Welcome home to Bakes Restaurant, located on Route 45, 1/2 mile south of CLC, near Center Street. Featuring soups, pizza, sandwiches, Italian dishes, and seafood daily. Full sports and news programming available on their 18 HD TVs. Wi-Fi also available. Bakes is open 7 days a week to serve you. Their phone number is 847-223-3430. Bakes Restaurant, for over 21 years, your home away from home.
Hey everybody, this is Wayne Boyker. Catch Beatlemania every Monday from 3 to 4 o'clock p.m. You'll hear tracks from all the Beatle albums and also from John, Paul, George, and Ringo's solo careers. Every so often I dig up rare Beatle recordings, and from time to time I play Beatle cover songs from other artists. So join me every Monday at 3 o'clock for Wayne Boyker's Beatle Hour on WRLR 98.3 FM.
WRLR would like to take a moment to acknowledge one of our special members, Business of the Month, the Law Offices of Gary N. Foley. Their areas of expertise include Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcy issues, short sales, foreclosure defense, judicial sales, and landlord disputes. If you'd like more information about the Law Offices of Gary N. Foley, you can contact them at 847-986-2999.
All right, we're back, and I am in the process of giving a call to our good friend, Mike Miller, who has got a good book out now, Facebook for Grownups. You're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR.
Facebook for Grownups.
Yeah.
Michael Miller.
I think.
Hello there.
Good morning. Mike, sorry, I was just explaining to Dave that I had promised, I said, you know what, I promised Mike we're going to give him a call about 20 minutes after the hour, and... And here we are, pretty much 20 minutes to the hour, and we're finally getting through. But Mike, it's so great to have you back on again. It's been too long. It's been a while. You've always got good stuff coming out, and you've got a new book that I've got in front of me. But I keep wanting to call it Facebook for Old Folks, but I think it's got a slightly different name, right?
Yeah, it's Facebook for Grownups. I actually wanted to call it Facebook for Old Farts, but the publisher definitely didn't go for that one.
I don't know why not, though. I think that certainly would have at least grabbed some eyeballs. You know, people would have wanted to, like, what could this possibly be? Now, why is it Facebook for Grownups, though, and not just Facebook for anybody or Facebook for everybody?
Well, you know, really two reasons. One is that the fastest growing demographic on Facebook now are people over 40. You know, the young folks have been using Facebook for a while, but the old people, if people over 40 year old, that is, are starting to embrace. In fact, they're the biggest part of the audience, or the biggest growing part of the audience now for Facebook. And just observing, you know, in my own household where I've got you know, three teenagers aged 18 to 24. They stay teenagers long these days. How they use Facebook versus how I and my wife and all of our friends use Facebook, there's definite differences in how older people use Facebook and what they use it for. You know, we don't use it like the young kids do.
Mm-hmm. Well, how so? I mean, I've been a Facebook user for some time, and I'll be willing to admit I'm over 40. So I guess I'm in that latter group. But I've got some friends now who are my age, and they've just started to dive into Facebook the last couple of months. And they're my age or even a little bit older. How is the way that they're going to be using Facebook different from how I started using it when I was, you know, 39 or whatever, and how someone who's 25 starts getting into it?
Well, the younger generation tends to use it more frequently. If you look at, people, in their teens and early 20s, they use Facebook almost like an operating system. They get on Facebook in the morning and they stay on it till whenever they fall asleep, and they do everything within Facebook. They don't do email anymore. They do the emailing from within Facebook, and they don't even use instant messaging anymore. They use chat in Facebook, and everything is within Facebook. Where older users, I think, are probably a little more sensible in that, we're not on it 24/7. We might check on once or twice a day, that sort of thing. So the frequency of use is one thing. Also, how we access is different. I mean, younger people tend to access things now with mobile devices, whereas older users are still using their computers more often than not. So that's a difference. But probably more important is what we do on it. For those of us, past a certain age, whether that's past 30 or whatnot, we're really catching up with a lot of old friends. Whereas people who are still in school, they don't have old friends yet. They're just, constantly bleating and blathering on about, what they did today in class and, whether they like chocolate or not or whatever, or their favorite zombie movie. But, for us older folks, it really is a means to get back in touch with people we used to know, as well as to keep in touch with family. So it really is about friends and family connections as you get older.
Yep. I would have to agree with you. I think not only the old friends, that's been one thing that's been big for me, is there's been a couple of friends that I certainly never would have connected with again if it hadn't been for Facebook, some for better, some for worse, perhaps. But also, too, I have some much older family members who are in their 70s who now finally, I don't have to spend 45 minutes on the phone with them trying to describe how to open up the picture of their grandchild that I sent to them. They have a Facebook account. It's there. And I can say, look, you're going to see it in your wall. You'll see it on your messages. And they know, they get it now. It's there. And it makes sense to them. So that is a big deal. That is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you think about it, pre-Facebook, if you wanted to keep your family, just your family members, okay, forget your friends, keep them up to touch with what's going on, you had to write a dozen different letters or a dozen different emails and send out pictures, most of which were too big to go through email cleanly and all that stuff. And you had to do this repeatedly over and over and over and over. Well, now if you can get all your family members on Facebook, you make one post and everybody knows about everything. And when you do it, you don't have an obligation to respond either, which is you can just keep in touch with what your cousin's doing and keep watching, and you don't have an obligation to get back in touch. So it really is a much more efficient way to keep in touch with family members, mm-hmm. certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there's not the excuse anymore of, oh, I didn't get the email either, is because you can say, well, just go back into Facebook. You'll be able to find it on my stream.
Right.
Now, speaking of photos, that was one thing. Now, the book is, it is Facebook for Grownups. It's for people that are new to Facebook and learning, it goes through a lot of if people have been using it for a while, it's really the basic stuff about how to navigate and so on. But there were things in here that you talked about that I was not aware of or hadn't really thought about. And one of them has to do with photos, is that, of course, it's a real frustration. You go in and try to download photos and you really can't. At least it sure as heck isn't easy. You can right click and do a save as on somebody else's photos. But it turns out, and I didn't know this until looking through your book, that there's some tools out there within Facebook that you can use to make that process easier.
That's true. Plus, since my book has been published, you write about the web kind of shooting at a moving target, Facebook has changed their photo uploading. When I wrote the book, Anything you uploaded to Facebook, they de-res to, I think, no more than 700 pixels wide, if even that, I think. It was a fairly, you know, small picture. And, you know, even if you do download one of those things, you know, it's not suitable for printing. Well, since then, Facebook has changed their photo uploading so that you can now upload high-resolution pictures, which is great. And when you do this, when you upload in high-res, when somebody views it, there is now a download this picture in high resolution link that appears. Mm. Now, if somebody's still uploading using the old photo uploader or checking the option not to upload in high res because it takes longer to upload, you don't get that option. But if somebody has uploaded a high resolution picture now and you're watching it, you're viewing it, you now see a download in high res link, which is a lot easier to download than, you know, the old gyrations we had to go through that I talked about in the book.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Now, however, if you wanted to do some basic stuff, like I want to get, you know, my friend, she posted a whole bunch of pictures about a party we were all out. I want to get those for my computer. That can still be tough to do. And there are some of these tools that will let you do things like that. Grab, I think one of them is called the Photo Album Downloader, in fact, easily enough. And what will that do for you that you can't do natively in Facebook?
Well, what you can do with the Photo Album Downloader, which is a Facebook app, you can just search for it in through Facebook apps and look for it, is it will really let you download multiple pictures and actually complete albums at a whole time. So, you know, if you do have family members who want to store your pictures natively, as opposed to just looking at them on Facebook, you know, sign up for this Photo Album Downloader, and you can just, you know, click a couple buttons and download somebody's entire photo album.
Excellent. Excellent. That would be very useful. Very useful. Like I said, and that was one thing I wasn't even aware of. I was kind of frustrated by the whole process of that. So when I saw that rang some bells for me right away. You know, and there were some other things that you talk about that may not be obvious even to longer term users. One is people may not think about the fact that, you know, you don't have to just keep one Facebook profile. You could have multiple profiles and multiple accounts if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, Facebook says you're not supposed to, but people do. And, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, you just sign up with multiple email addresses and do that. You know, I use that. I try to talk about that. Another thing that older people, parents, do when you're on Facebook is you use Facebook to keep in touch with your kids, or more likely to keep track of your kids as opposed to keeping in touch with them. Because kids are great about posting everything that goes on. I mean, they have no filter. So if you want to know what your kids are up to, well, just go to their Facebook page and find out. You know, you'll find out more than they'll ever tell you in person. The problem is, though, is some kids are smart and know how to use Facebook's privacy settings to lock out their parents from certain posts and even from seeing their entire wall. You know, so how do you get in to see your kid when they've locked you out? Well, one way is just to create another identity. And, you know, I'm not talking about the legalities or the ethics of that at all, but, you know, kids are you know, they'll make friends with anybody except their parents. And, you know, so you create a fake identity, you can get it onto your kid's wall and see what they're doing even when they don't want you to see it.
Yep. Yeah, and then, you know, if you go in and do that and you're silent, you know, you're fairly quiet and just an observer on things, there's a pretty good chance that you'll be able to continue observing for quite some time.
That's the key. You never want to let never want to remind them that they're being watched.
Yes.
You know, resist the temptation to comment on their posts or whatever. You never do that.
Yep. Yeah, and that's something we've talked about on air before, though, too, is, you know, certainly being aware of what your children are doing on air, being aware of or on air, online, I should say, being aware of where they're going to and who they're friending, and that's a way that you can do it. I know that the police that are involved with the local schools and the school districts typically use that technique as well. They have multiple accounts for law enforcement that they use to befriend known gang members or even just anybody that will let them through into the schools, and in that way are able to keep an eye on what's happening. So it's a useful tool in that way.
And, you know, the multiple accounts are also good, you know, for less nefarious purposes. You know, we all have personal lives, we all have professional lives. And do you really want, you know, your bosses and your coworkers seeing what you're doing on the weekends on your personal life? Well, one way around that is to create two different Facebook accounts. So you've got, you know, your own personal account that you share with friends and family, and then you've got a more professional account where you go ahead and friend your colleagues and your bosses and whatnot. And that way you can kind of keep, you know, your two lives separate, so your boss doesn't need to know, you know, that you got drunk last weekend in the Caribbean or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, and if more people did things like that, not getting drunk in the Caribbean, but paying attention to what was being posted online, I think we'd all be a lot better off. That's one thing I noticed. Maybe I just missed it, but there's a lot of discussion about what you can do online and on Facebook, but not a lot of discussion about what you should do when you're in Facebook.
Well, no, actually, I do have that throughout the book. It's kind of sprinkled throughout because, you know, again, as adults, we're a little more circumspect than kids are. Kids just post everything, which is stupid. It's going to come back and haunt them. But even adults do that. I mean, you guys were talking earlier about people posting pictures of their house and whatnot. Well, you know, people who not only post pictures of their house, but actually, you know, make visible their phone number and their street address in their Facebook profile, and then tell people on a post, hey, I'm going away for vacation this week. You know, that's just an invitation to have people show up at your house and take all your nice stuff. You have to be very circumspect. You don't want to show your phone number. You don't want to show your street address. You don't want to tell people where you're going, you know, because, you know, either, you know, somebody you don't like might meet you there or will show up at your house and steal your stuff. So, I mean, it's okay to tell people where you've been and what you've done, but don't tell them in advance that you're going to be away.
Yeah. That's yeah. Vacation pictures should be posted after the vacation is done. Yeah, and I think maybe that's something that people do tend to forget. Isn't Facebook, although it is more personal, it still is a venue for information to be inadvertently shared with people you don't want to, and it's also too it's a vector for transmission of all these viruses and nastiness and things like that as well. The Facebook has done a pretty good job of, they keep a lockdown on a lot of that stuff, although there's one screaming around the webs this last couple of days. I noticed something about see who's creeping your Facebook photos, and that mm-hmm. that clearly is a if you see one of those image or any of those links right now, I'm going to tell you, don't click on it. I did not, but I've had a number of friends who have and have been had their Facebook account hacked and started sending out a ton more of those. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, with Facebook, as with everything online, just, you know, use common sense. Don't click on stuff that you don't know is coming at you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there actually is a lot of stuff on Facebook that way. You know, people who, you know, people, even adults, like to play these Facebook games and the Facebook apps and stuff, you know, Farmville and Mafia Wars and that sort of stuff. And, you know, with the default privacy settings, you end up seeing all the posts when people buy a new pig or, you know, shoot somebody down in the alley or whatnot. And, you know, I hate that stuff. And the feedback I've gotten from the book is one of the most valuable things is the little paragraph where I show people, okay, here's how you, you know, configure Facebook so you don't see these stupid
yes.
messages popping up from all your friends who are playing these things.
Yeah. I think I would agree with that. That's been the most useful thing to me, is being able to shut those down without having to turn off or defriend somebody. I can actually just kill all the mafia, all the poker wars, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. There's a few other things that are going on Facebook that I hadn't been aware of as well. You know, like the Facebook Marketplace is out there. You talk too about using Facebook more as a way to make sure that people are aware of events that are coming up and all that. I want to ask more of a kind of a deeper question though. You know, our good friend Jay Garman, who comes on each week with Geek Trivia, he's mentioned in the past, he thinks that Facebook is kind of on the way downward. We're not going to be seeing Facebook as a big player 3 to 5 years from now. But you talking about, you know, the older generation now starting to pick it up. It sounds more like maybe it's becoming mainstream enough that it's gonna last the distance. What's your take on it? Do you see Facebook still being what it is 5 years from now?
Well, yeah, some people will say as soon as the old people adopt it, that's the death knell for something, and there may be something to that. But I think the right word is mainstreaming. I think Facebook has become mainstream now. You know, whether it's going to exist in the same form 3 to 5 years ago beats me. I mean, it's only 7 years old, so it's a very new, and it's really only been in the real mainstream for the past 4 or 5 years. So, you know, it's still a relatively new phenomena. I think Facebook is going to last longer than something like Twitter. I think Twitter is going to be a very short-lived phenomenon because it's so single purpose. I mean, what Facebook has done well is integrate all these activities that people used to do separately. I mean, Facebook doesn't do anything new. I mean, what is a Facebook status update but a blog post? I mean, you've got photo sharing, you've got instant messaging, you've got email. You know, none of this is new stuff. What is new about it is how they've integrated it into one, you know, social community and put it all together and tapped it all in so that, you know, you're always in touch with what everybody's doing. And it's a big dog. I mean, I think it would be very hard for another social network to come in now and overtake Facebook because they have such a critical mass. Now, does that mean that it's going to be here 5 years from now? Probably not. I mean, it doesn't mean that it won't be, doesn't mean that it will be. It will probably change. There may be some other stuff. We may progress beyond social networking into something else. But it's pretty mainstream now in terms of how people are using it and what we use it for.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good sum up of my thoughts on it as well. Is it may still be around, but it's certainly going to be different. Last question for you: Steelers or Packers?
Oh boy, you know, Packers are the closest thing we have to the Minnesota Vikings up here. So yeah, I probably have to go with the Pack. Go with the Chiefs heads.
Yep. Yeah, I wish I could say that. I'm thinking Steelers are going to win by six, but I'm willing to be proven wrong on that as well. So
it's really odd when the home of the Super Bowl, Dallas, has got more snow, you know, in the past week than Minneapolis has had. So something's odd with the weather.
And I think it's colder there right now too. It was like a high of 27 the other day. So yes, it's going to be an interesting game. Well, Mike, as always, thank you so much. Facebook for Grownups is one of your newer books that you've gotten out. You produce them so profligately that there's even more that's already on the newsstand, I think. But where can people go if they want to find out what you've got on tap and what kind of things you're working on?
Yeah, you can find out more about this book and all my other books at my website, molehillgroup.com, MOLEHILL group.com. And everything I've written is up there.
Great domain name.
Fantastic. Yeah. We made some mountains for sure. Mountains of books, anyways. There at Mole Hill Group. So so it works out. It works out well. And there are just a ton of things to check out that you've done. All good work. Mike, as always, it's great talking to you. Apologize for having to cut it short. There never seems to be enough time. And we'll be talking to you again soon.
Hey, great talking to both of you guys. See you guys.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye. Man, I'm not kidding either when I say we are out of time.
It's hard to stop talking to Michael Miller.
It is.
He could talk forever on so many different subjects and never repeat himself and provide so much knowledge.
We haven't even scratched the surface of the book. I do highly recommend taking a look at it, see if it fits for what you're interested in, at that molehillgroup.com, and good stuff there. I'm going to give you just one cool side of the week. I'm not even going to play the tune this week, but I will give you one cool side of the week this
wow.
week. Everybody snowed in.
Yeah, you're going to talk as fast as you can.
Everybody snowed in. You can't get out. Gosh darn it. It is so boring sitting at home. You're tired of Facebook. But you know what you can do? You can go Google. What can't Google do? Go to GoogleArtProject.com and
yeah.
You can virtually walk through most of the major art galleries in the world.
Oh, very cool.
And they've high res digitally picture scanned all of these amazing works of art, and you can zoom in to the level where you can actually see the tincture and the crackling of the oil paint on the canvases.
Very cool. Wow.
And it's just astonishing.
Yeah.
Go take a look at that. That's GoogleArtProject.com.
Very cool.
Very neat stuff. So if you can't get out, don't worry about it. I'm going to leave you with the podcast only song of the week this week. Let's do Static Waves by Andrew Bell. This is featuring Katie Herzig, and I think you're going to like it. And I really appreciate you listening to us this week on Tech Talk. That was Dave Sparky Saganaki.
Thanks for being here.
And I'm Michael Tech Talk Kessler. Hey, we'll be back at you next week. Take care. Have a great, great week.
See you next time.
Carve the stairs from where I am to where I started. I tap my feet and close the door to your apartment. And I know you're never gonna understand. It's too late for you to stop and think. Too late to mention I make a move. Spell my drink to break the tension, and I know you're never gonna understand. I'll try my best to follow if I can, but I would have let you leave. I would have let you leave. I would have let you leave.
The static waves across the screen define this notion. Back and forth and in between, like my emotion. And I know you're never gonna understand. Your hips and stole the breath that I was taking. I touched your lips and held your hand when they were shaking. Look how we fall upon our knees, how we forgot it. These empty halls held our disease before we caught it. Now out the door and down the stairs from your apartment, I would have let you leave. Motion back and forth in between, like my emotion. Now out the door and down the stairs from your apartment. I count the steps from where I